T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
As we get closer to the election in November, we're seeing more and more protests in this country and increasingly violent protests as well. John Cohen joining us this morning, former counterterrorism coordinator at the Department of Homeland Security. John, a lot of people blame Antifa for this. Is Antifa an actual organization? Is it a movement? What is it?
Good morning. So Antifa is a term, it stands for anti-fascist, and as described by the director of the FBI when he testified before Congress, it's not an organization. It's an ideological movement. It's a belief system. It's comprised of people from different socioeconomic, different parts of the society, and they believe that they are standing up against a rise in fascism in the United States, and sometimes they focus their attention on what they believe to be inappropriate or fascist-like behavior by authorities. So you will see counter-protest by folks who self-connect with the Antifa movement against white supremacy or other far-right extremist movements, but you'll also see those who self-describe themselves as members of the Antifa movement protesting against what they believe to be discriminatory action by law enforcement and instances of police abuse.
Like a lot of groups that have sprung up, especially online recently, there really isn't, any central leadership, right? I mean, anyone can identify as Antifa. Anyone can kind of join in. There's really no, top-down organization.
Right, and it's as the director of the FBI made very clear, it's not an organization. And he's distinguished between those individuals who self-connect with the Antifa ideology from those individuals who join extremist or terrorist organizations. Now, that doesn't mean that some individuals who describe themselves as being members of the Antifa movement don't go out and commit vandalism or engage in destructive or violent behavior. And the FBI director made very clear that when those individuals do that, regardless of their ideological belief system, they are investigated and, if appropriate, prosecuted by the FBI or others in law enforcement. But the real issue here from a law enforcement perspective is that there is a growing political narrative, particularly by the president and his supporters, that the violence we are seeing in cities and that the most important and significant extremist threat facing the country today comes from those on the far left, and in particular they use the term Antifa to describe that threat. What the FBI director made very clear yesterday is that's just not the case. And he is echoing what we're hearing from intelligence community officials and others in law enforcement. The primary violent extremist threat facing the country today comes from those who connect with the white supremacist ideological movement, anti-government militia. And those are the people who are carrying out a significant number of lethal attacks targeting law enforcement and others.
We've been watching these protests grow. I mean, really stemming from the George Floyd protests. And police departments have really changed the strategy, the way they handle these protests. They've backed off to a large degree. Is it working?
Well, that's not really a change in strategy. But you raise a really important point. So what we've learned over the past couple of decades is that when you have mass protests and you have large numbers of people grouping together to protest what they believe is are problematic elements of our society, that there are certain things that law enforcement has to do. One, they have to provide a safe environment for those who are engaged in constitutionally protected free speech and assembly, and at the same time, they have to have to stop violence and destructive behavior by those who will use the protest or who are in part of the protest and decide to engage in that type of illegal activity. So, you know, what law enforcement will do is they'll work with the protest organizers. They will use a variety of techniques to monitor what's going on during the protest. If they start seeing violent behavior break out, they'll seek to remove those individuals. But for the most part, what they have found is that law enforcement, and what law enforcement does now, in most part, is let the protests continue, let them continue peacefully, and then in a very tactical way, remove those who are engaged in illegal, violent, or destructive behavior. So that's the technique that's being used in protests around the country, and for the most part, it's working very, very well. We do have instances of vandalism, we do have instances of violence, and the local law enforcement leaders on the ground in those cities, you know, are working very aggressively to address those issues.
Do you think that one of the things that gets people upset when we start talking about Antifa is, you know, how tricky they can be with identifying themselves? I think if you asked any American, well, that's probably not true, but 9 out of 10, 99 out of 100, and so on and so forth, are you anti-fascist? Everyone would say yes. But it's not really the same, you know, even though the wording is the same, you know, we are the anti-fascist group, we are Antifa. I mean, there is definitely a big slope from going from, yes, I don't like fascism, to, no, I'm Antifa, I'm going to wear a bandana, cover my face, go out into the you know, middle of the street and take part in what sometimes is just marching, other times is vandalism.
Yeah, I mean, that also is a very interesting point, and it's also sort of opens the door to a discussion on how the threat environment in this country has evolved. You know, from a law enforcement perspective, you know, we have to be very careful to distinguish between people who are expressing ideological views, even if we find them to be distasteful, or even if a majority of people in our society find them to be distasteful, racist, or inconsistent with our values. They still have a right to express it, but what they don't have a right to do, and this applies to anybody, whether you are from the far right or the far left, you don't have the right to allow those ideological views to motivate violence or destructive or illegal activity. So from a law enforcement perspective, and the director said this yesterday, they focus less on the ideology and more of the behavior. And those folks who are involved in destructive or violent behavior, regardless of their ideological belief system, those are the targets. Those are the people targeted by law enforcement. And I think, unfortunately, what's happening is that you're seeing a collision between the political rhetoric and the political narrative and the political discourse that's so polarized in our country today, and that's colliding with what we're seeing on the ground from a law enforcement and security perspective. And I think until we find some way to bring some truth and clarity and lessen the impact of that collision, we're going to continue to sort of have these same discussions, and people are going to still continue to be a little bit confused about what the situation is on the ground.
And do you expect the discord, the chaos, even the violence to only increase as we get closer to the election?
Yes, and I think what really has law enforcement concerned is that we are going to see a continuation of protests. We are going to see ideological extremists on both sides of the spectrum use those protests as an opportunity to, you know, to achieve their ideological objectives. And the concern is that you will have fringe from both sides of the spectrum go to these cities and engage in violence against each other, and that becomes a very dangerous situation. But, you know, I think the key for people to remember is that there are law enforcement professionals, there are security professionals who understand what's going on out there, people like Director Ray, and they're working very, very hard to keep our communities safe. That's why it's so important that our leaders, our leadership at the state, local, and federal levels provide the public an accurate assessment of what the threats are and what they can do to be counteracted.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.